Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
This show is brought to you by Doc Sports Services. On today's edition of Listening with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, I'm welcoming in a man who continues to make a name for himself in sports out on the West Coast, in Rudy Reyes, who is the newest addition to the KGWN Chinnabine sports team. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag listenin with KNN.
This show is brought to you by Doc Sports Services. Today on Listening with KNN, I'm welcoming on a former Washington Redskin, yes, a true icon right here in the DMV area, and a true fan favorite of the Hail to the Redskins faithful. Yes, I'm talking about Rick Doc Walker, who will join me right here on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. Yes, Washington Redskins fans, this is for you, and especially all of you who are counting down to the next big event with the NFL, yes, the NFL draft. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag listen in with KNN. Now, this week, we will be getting straight into our action-packed show right after this quick commercial break. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond, presented by Fox Sports Radio, where today I'm honored and excited to welcome in Mr. Rudy Reyes. Rudy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kelsey. Thanks for having me on for the first time. I appreciate it. How are you? That's the question.
I'm wonderful. I am wonderful. I'm kind of jealous. We have Hurricane Florence over here, and you guys on the West Coast, it seems like you guys always have it good right now.
it's a little bit on the warm side, but then again, it's always on the warm side here in Southern California. We don't
That's
have
true.
Hurricanes, but yep. I certainly want to send prayers out to those that are in the path
yes,
of that
definitely.
Nasty weather system right now.
Yes, and definitely. I mean, I hope everyone, if you are in an evacuation space, please listen to them. And please, for the safety of yourselves, definitely stay safe. But Rudy, I'm excited to talk sports with you. Before we talk sports, I want people to know a little bit more about you. So you've appeared on shows such as the Ben Smith Show, discussing sports-related topics. You've been on ESPN Radio with a friend of ours at the show, Freddie Coleman, talking about the NFL, the Coach Les Show on SB Nation Radio. You've basically done a lot. You also covered the 2017 ESPYs in Los Angeles, California, and you've covered Pac-12 Media Days, and you are making a new move, I understand, as a sports reporter. So just tell me a little bit about where you are right now in your sports reporting journey.
I am on the way to doing something that is probably, first of all, thank you for acknowledging all that work. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, not to mention the podcast that I have on the RootDogShow.com. And I hope to get that back up as soon as I can get
Yay, I love it. I'm a fan of the show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm a fan of your show, too. So there you go.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm just looking forward to covering everything sports there in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Of course, KGWN serves the greater Cheyenne area. There's Laramie County. It's about 75% of the state. And I'll be covering the Wyoming Cowboys, which is a Division 1A football team, with reporting ranging from coaches' interviews, maybe some mini documentaries. You guys have to stay tuned for that one. And not to mention player conversation as well. So I really look at mixing things up, bringing a lot of energy, bringing a lot of emphasis on the city of Cheyenne there in Wyoming. So a really vast journey. I'll be getting started next week.
Yeah. Wonderful. Best of luck to you.
So I'm
and also happy belated birthday. I understand you just celebrated a birthday this week as well. So lots of exciting things for you this week.
Yeah, tell me about it. I'm still getting happy birthdays in today when you didn't really expect to get them. I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, it's still my birthday, but it was yesterday, not today. So
it's okay. We'll still count it. That means a lot of
okay. Fair enough. I'm good. Thanks. I appreciate that. Thank yous. Thank you very much. I appreciate it on Facebook.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks for
yeah.
shout
you will
outs
literally
on
spend
LinkedIn.
A day doing that. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm almost at the tail end of it. So while they don't give me more happy birthdays, gosh. I don't have to respond. It's crazy.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. I tried to respond to everyone and I just gave up. I'm still trying to go back. So I just been one general thank you all. Love you very much.
Yeah, basically one big thank you and have a great evening.
Pretty much, yeah. We have a lot of stuff. We're busy people. We cover sports. It's always something happening. But Rudy, I do want to get into sports talk with you. I always like to kick off my show with my doing a big in the DMV segment. And unfortunately, Rudy, the Washington Mystics, they got to their first ever WNBA finals, but they failed to the Seattle Storm 98-82. Two names really capped it off in game three. Brianna Stewart, who everyone should know from her UConn days, and Natasha Howard. Did you have a chance to catch any of the WNBA finals?
I actually caught the entry part of that early in the season. I did get a chance to watch Candace Parker and obviously the Los Angeles team not living up to expectations. Unfortunately, the Lynx are no stranger. They had taken out the Sparks the last two playoff meetings.
Yeah.
So when you think about the Lynx, you think about the dynamics, the fast-paced action. This isn't the NBA. This is a WNBA. People really need to be glued into this because next year the Lynx are going to have a target on their back. And unfortunately, the Mystics are going to have another opportunity. But it won't happen until next year. So we'll see what happens.
Right. Oh, my gosh. It was just incredible. I love that you said it. People need to be tuned into the WNBA. I feel like we have this conversation every single year. But women's sports, please give them a chance. Support them. WNBA Finals, we saw some great basketball. Yes, the Seattle Storm did sweep the Washington Mystics. But you guys are seeing some of the best players in the game. Elena Deladon of the Washington Mystics, I think one of the best to ever play the game. And then Sue Bird on the other side, a true legend in the game. For the Seattle Storm. So what a great championship it was. Interestingly enough, Seattle's 16-point victory ties the third largest in a finals-clinching victory in WNBA history. So those girls obviously know what they're doing. And, I mean, they were just on fire from everywhere. But I do want to congratulate them. I know D.C. is hurt. We were on a championship wave, Rudy. We had the Washington Capitals winning. We had our arena football team here, the Washington Valor winning a championship. So we were just waiting for the Washington Mystics to continue that trend, but unfortunately, it did fall through. But like you said, there's always next year, so hopefully they change it around.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe the Capitals need to go inside of that locker room and give the Mystics some mysticism of their own to share in their joy. You know, say, look, you know, this is what happened to us. We were down 0-2.
Hey.
Against the Penguins, we decided to come back and really take it to them. And, of course, Penguins being my team moving forward. Of course, it's all things
Pittsburgh. Oh, no, you're one of those ones.
For me. Yeah, I'm one of those guys.
And you guys are always the kryptonite for the Capitals. We always are like, we can get past the Penguins. We're good. And it happened this year, and you see what happened. So,
it did. I watched that game, and the Penguins just did not play to par. And, look, cap tip. To the Capitals for being able to get it done and giving the first timers, you know, guys that have been there a long time, an opportunity to win a Stanley Cup for the first time. That's got to be a great feeling. And moving forward, that's going to be a momentum into this upcoming season, which is right around the corner because teams have started to gather around the old ice cube and start their training camp. So we'll see what happens.
It's exciting, and nonetheless, the Washington Capitals, at the beginning of their season, I don't care what many people say, many people did not expect them to win the Stanley Cup, and they did. It was the story we needed. D.C. has been called a minor league sports town for a long time, a losing sports town. The Washington Capitals were able to start changing that culture, and finally here in D.C., we really have in the Capitals a team that we can celebrate and do the championship parade, because I didn't know if it was coming anytime soon. But I was glad I had a chance to be a part of it. So hopefully next year, Washington Mystics, we'll see you guys there. But congratulations to them still on getting to the finals for the first time in franchise history. Still a huge accomplishment in itself.
Fantastic. Indeed it is.
Yes. All right. Also happening this weekend, Rudy, we have to switch over to my biggest news in sports, week one NFL action. Where should we start? I'll let you pick. Where should we start? So much happened just in week one. I'm so glad my Sundays are back filled with football already.
You're not the only one. Week one was filled with nothing but a lot of mischief. When I say mischief, Steelers decided to botch their first tying 21 all for opening day against the Cleveland Browns, who have still yet to win a game.
Right. They would tie. They still haven't won.
But it's a tie a win. For the Cleveland Browns, it is a win.
Yes.
Cleveland's been a carousel of quarterbacks rolling through their time after time after time. Finally, all these paper players that look great on paper are actually making a name for themselves, and it's only, 0-0-1 headed into game two, which is week two in the NFL. Steelers had too many turnovers, can't overcome that. Chris Boswell missing that game-winning field goal, and of course the kicker on the other side didn't do so great either. Also, missed a chip shot field goal a lot closer than Chris Boswell, and they just didn't get it done. So Steelers start off the season not too good, 0-1, still without their franchise running back, and of course one who refuses to put ink to paper and rather spend time in Florida doing who knows what in the NFL. That's Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. What did you think of Le'Veon Bell putting that emoji up, the little glass eye? Like, did you think that was shady? I mean, I feel like I've heard so many people talking about this and saying, should his team be there for him? Is it wrong for his team to talk out about him? I mean, what do you kind of think of his antics and trying to get what he wants right now?
Well, first of all, he's barking up the wrong tree. This team historically has not overpaid any player in history, and it goes back to beyond the steel curtain when Bill Nunn Jr., who has done everything possible to get these players that created these multiple Super Bowl wins in the 70s to try to translate that into recognize that we're not going to pay these guys that kind of money. Franco Harris had a very minimum salary. We're not paying Le'Veon Bell, who has a lot of miles on him, don't get me wrong, but still very effective. Mm-hmm. He's wanting more money, and he wants a lot more guaranteed. This team is just not going to pay it. It's simple.
Yeah.
But him casting shade, there's a lot of he said, he said. And I mean, Ramon Foster said Le'Veon Bell was going to be there, and Le'Veon Bell went back and forth. It's just a real tired, it's a real tiring situation there. I don't know that any more attention needs to be brought to it other than the dissension in the locker room now at 2.0, because we're now moved, forward, where Le'Veon Bell has been removed from any type of roster look, saying, well, you're not here second week in a row. Mike Tomlin didn't have anything to say other than I didn't have a communication with him during the post-conference. So it is what it is. The Steelers are going to roll on behind. As a matter of fact, James Conner leads the NFL right now as of week one. Believe it or not, out of a tie, James Conner is leading this team in rushing yards as well as first downs and carries despite the one fumble. I think that there's, clearly there's a lot more to the season. This isn't the end all for all you fantasy guys out there who's looking forward to Le'Veon Bell out there. But speaking of an ex-Steeler, Martavis Bryant, Raiders re-signed him today. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know whether or not the Raiders are going to find a way to prevent it from being suspended. Is he appealing it? I don't know.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a quick story. 2014, I was on the training camp field there in Pittsburgh. First time there, first time ever seeing all these players in my face.
Yeah.
Not on a football field.
right Martavis, in front of you.
Exactly. So Martavis Bryant's on and out route, almost knocks me down. So I'll never forget that. But I told you that story to tell you this story. Martavis Bryant, as good as he is, has some type of issues. I don't know if it's marijuana related, because we know that he went to rehab, stay there in Nevada for some time. But I think that the Raiders needed that, as well as they needed Khalil Mack, but they weren't able to cut a deal. And look what happened.
Right.
He really sucked it too. He just gave it all that he had, found a way to win multiple interceptions, return for a touchdown, one of them. Of course, not getting the positive end of the stick, but moving forward, the Bears look really good. But unlike where the NFL is trending right now, of course, you can throw numbers out there and say Monday Night Football was not much of a success and it wasn't very good. And I actually disagree. I thought that Monday Night Football as a whole was a real positive thing. Moving in, certain players, Boyz II Men, and trying to remember Kelly's last name. So you had a mix of, you have to hodgepodge these things in order to find out what works and what doesn't work. But I thought it was a great tribute to Aretha Franklin nonetheless.
Yes, yes. And oh, may she rest in peace. The queen of soul. It's so sad to see her go. But just seeing all the tributes and love pour into her, and I loved it like you. I completely agree with you. I thought Boyz II Men killed it. It was so nice. I love how some people compared it to a Christmas carol. I mean, just hearing them sing again was just, you can never get too much Boyz II Men. But switching back to even more football, that was a good game. I think the Steelers Browns, because it was unexpected. I know Tyrod Taylor had got a lot of flack at first, but geez, here in the DMV area, everyone was really excited, Rooney, because both the Baltimore Ravens and the Washington Redskins had commanding wins. Of course, the Baltimore Ravens were all over the Detroit Lions. And then, of course, the Washington Redskins over the Cardinals. Alex Smith's debut was looking great. And Adrian Peterson, I know everyone was glad to see him back doing what AP does best. What do you think about the teams over here?
You know, I've always been a fan of Adrian Peterson, but I like the fact he was able to recognize that he made those errors early on post-Vikings career and to be able to get back to glory. New Orleans Saints didn't really use him all that well. He had very few rushes, very few yards with the carries. But Washington being the premier back, when I look at Adrian Peterson, I mean, he's 10th all time. I think Adrian Peterson can be the workhorse moving through the regular season in the postseason. Yeah. If the Redskins can get there and keep it together with Alex Smith under center. I've never been sold on Alex Smith, even when he was with Kansas City. But I like Alex Smith, the person. I'm just waiting for him to get over that hump, almost like a Carson Palmer-esque kind of guy, where I just want him to just turn that page. But I think Washington has been on the fringe for a very long time, trying to those 8-8 seasons and those 7-8 seasons.
We're
and
tired
really
of the 500 seasons. Yes,
exactly. 500 seasons should not be acceptable to Dan Snyder, nor should it be acceptable to Jay Gruden. And I think they're really trying to put things together there. I like the chemistry. I like what I've seen from Adrian Peterson. Defensively, they still need help in the secondary. Josh Norman still cannot do it by himself. He got burned on a couple routes, but I think Washington.
Yep. And he won't ever admit Washington, that.
Yeah, well, of course he won't. He's not going to tell him, well, I decided to play on the receiver and not the ball, and he was already out of bounds when clearly he tiny toe tapped. He pulled Antonio Brown ahead of the outbound. Yep. But, you know, I think Washington is certainly on their way. I think that they have a lot of talent. They have a lot of talent and a lot of skills, and I think that Jay Gruden can put that all together and really make a solid run there in D.C.
Yes, I mean, like I said, Alex Smith was praised. Adrian Peterson trying to prove age is truly nothing but a number. And then Quentin Dunbar on defense, I really think, continued to make a name for himself and make sure people look at him. And then on the other side of the ball, Joe Flacco for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I know the Lions were definitely not playing any good football, but he solidified himself, I think, as the starting quarterback because, of course, everybody right now has this Lamar Jackson frenzy, but Joe Flacco played some good football. I saw him making way better decisions than he has in the past. I really like this quarterback competition. I think we're seeing a new side of Joe Flacco we have not seen, because before, Joe Flacco has never, ever, ever, ever been benched. That is huge since he's been in Baltimore, but now he knows he has two quarterbacks at his back. Of course, Robin Griffith III did not suit up the Baltimore Ravens' first game, but he is their third-string quarterback, and of course, Lamar Jackson, who everybody seems to cannot get enough of, is their second string quarterback. So what do you think of the Baltimore Ravens in their first game of the season?
You know, I like the direction Joe Flacco is heading. And I think it sent that fire underneath him, despite getting Lamar Jackson 32nd overall in the first round.
Yep.
Now, I interviewed Lamar Jackson, and when I interviewed him, I just kept asking him. I said, Lamar, you know, what do you feel about being drafted in the first round? Well, I didn't want to go in the second, so I'm good at 32. And that was his whole mantra. I'm good at 32. I don't care. Mm-hmm. As long as I'm in the first round, because he gets first-round monies, which is a lot better than second-round monies. But just being picked 32nd overall, he had a chip on his shoulder, but he was very confident. He wasn't cocky. He was confident. But also a very humble guy. So in conversation with him, And you could always listen to the conversation that I recorded if you guys want a little bit more of Lamar Jackson. I'm not in a frenzy. I'm still waiting to see how he's going to turn out, how he's going to develop. It's too early to tell. He's a rookie. He needs time. And every rookie does, regardless of who it is. But I think by drafting Lamar Jackson, it certainly sent a signal to Joe Flacco. And they just picked apart that team. I mean, they had no answer for them in any phase of that game, and it was just a slaughterhouse. They give up, 14 points, but hey, 14 over 40, plus points, I don't think really that's much of a competition. I don't think anybody's going to bark at that. Mm-hmm. But I think that Joe Flacco, now last year, and maybe even the year before that, I'm kind of reaching, but I believe he had less than 20 throws under 20 yards. So it was like a dink and dunk situation for him.
It was short.
His completion percentage wasn't very good. And I'm just kind of wondering, well, why? Was he nervous about throwing that long ball? Believe me, he didn't have guys like Troy Polamalu breathing down his neck, putting the tomahawk chop on him to get the ball out. So why would he wait that long? I mean, he had all the time in the world to throw it. His mechanics weren't there, but everything seems to be changing for him. And of course, with a couple Ravens retiring, of course, Ray Lewis inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame recently.
Yeah, congrats to Ray.
Congratulations to that. And I look at this Ravens team, I think to myself, Harbaugh's got a good situation. And I know they pulled in RG3, and I know where RG3 has been. He was with the Redskins, as aforementioned, and now another Maryland team. But RG3 reminds me of a guy, if given the opportunity, can get back to the glory days that he first had when he was first drafted.
Yes. I mean, and
I'd like
fans
to think
here
so.
Want to see that. Fans here want to see that. I remember the RG3 frenzy when he was with the Washington Redskins. And interestingly enough, he's with the team. If you guys remember, Haloti Ngata, when he hit RG3, that's when the whole knee thing happened. And now he's with the very team that you could say kind of forever changed his career, but I think the Ravens are willing to give him a chance. I think it's a good organization to build upon. I mean, we see how much Tyrod Taylor has really grown since following Joe Flacco, essentially, when he was the backup quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. So I think it's a good chance to grow. I think Lamar Jackson has good leadership. I like that he has both types of quarterback. I like that he has Joe Flacco to learn from, as well as the RG3, because those are two different styles of quarterback play. But especially for the Joe Flacco, because I think Lamar Jackson is more like that RG3. He can run, right? No one's questioning him if he can run. But people want to see that arm, and Joe Flacco has a great arm. People can get into this debate all the time. I don't care if you think he's elite or not elite. Joe Flacco has a bomb of an arm when he's able to use it. And you talked about weapons. I think finally he has the weapons that he feels more secure to throw that deep ball to. Because honestly, Joe Flacco has not really felt comfortable throwing that deep ball, I think, since the Super Bowl days. I think when we go back to that Torrey Smith team, I haven't seen the comfortability. But now he has Crabtree. If they get Crabtree going, the veteran, then he has some nice young wide receivers. Baltimore Ravens could possibly be a dangerous team this season. I mean, but just continuing on, there was so much happening in the NFL. But I do want to bring up something that some people might have not paid attention to. But, of course, really happening over this entire season has been the NFL and the National Anthem protest. Now, this season, week one, we saw way less than last season. But two Miami Dolphins players, actually wide receiver Kenny Stills and Dolphins wide receiver Albert Wilson, they did end up kneeling during the national anthem against the Tennessee Titans. What is kind of your overall take on where this anthem protest will go this season for the NFL?
Gosh, that is such a bag of worms, because from the onset, when Colin Kaepernick did this and he decided to set the precedent, I didn't have an issue with him setting the precedent. The issue that I have is that he wasn't there to back it up. He wasn't there to talk to media. He wasn't there to give an overall explanation of what the point was behind it. Little by little, piece by piece, a lot of this has been trickling out. And you could talk about Rosa Parks, and you could talk about lots of African-American people, young ladies, men that were basically shunned and have been killed senselessly throughout history. And I think it was just his way of saying, you know what, enough is enough. This isn't America, because these things are still happening, and they are. They're still happening now. And I think that something definitely needs to be done about it. But kneeling during the national anthem with a team that's paying you to play football, this isn't about protest. If you're going to protest, protest the CBA. Protest the things that are going on that you can utterly change immediately. Long-term change, it's going to take a lot of time. Lots of people have lost their lives. Martin Luther King lost his life for it, and lots of other leaders to try to change. Even apartheid, you know, he sacrificed himself. Nelson Mandela. And so you really have to look at this thing for yourself. Can he make that change? Is he one person that could make that change? The jury's still out on that. We're still developing, trying to figure out how we can stop these atrocities from occurring. I see it all the time. I hear about it all the time, but it doesn't have a place in the NFL. It just doesn't. Leave that to the outside. You have your platform. Use your platform to affect others. Lots of other NFL players will use theirs to give back to children who are terminally ill with cancer. They'll give back to those with autism. They'll have these celebrity golf tournaments. They'll have all these things to help these causes, because you can't change it with one person. So overall, I don't think it has a place in the NFL. The platform is great, but Colin Kaepernick certainly, and I mean prior to Nike pulling him out of the closet, I don't know if it had to do with money or enabling him and giving him another podium to stand on, but why you wait till Nike, for Nike commercial to make your point known or to, I don't really know what to make of it, to be honest with you, but I think that this national anthem thing, if Marshawn Lynch wants to kneel on it, and if all these players want to kneel to it, the NFL is just going to have to find a way to let them know, look, I may not agree with you, I'll support you, but we just cannot have it in this forum. And we need to take it out of this forum and use those 17,000 followers you have on Twitter, or 150,000 followers you have on Twitter, and make some noise outside of the NFL. If you want to get involved in a protest walk and you're the big name on campus, do it. I'll walk with you. I'm nobody. I want to walk with you. Go ahead.
Because I completely hear everything you're saying. So a lot of people have compared Colin Kaepernick to Muhammad Ali. If people agree or disagree with that. And some would say Muhammad Ali, the stances that he took, and remember, he lost some of his prime fighting time to stand up for what he believed in. Some people saw Colin Kaepernick did the same thing. And some people believe that using the NFL player's platform to do that is right, because they're saying, as you said, I mean, stuff happens all the time, unfortunately. We see the inequalities, right, that happen to African Americans day in and day out. I mean, just turn on the news. So I think the players are feeling that, the players that are participating, you know, that this is the only way that they can get people to listen. But I get what you're saying, not on the NFL's dime, like do it outside of it. But then would you say do you think it could really be as impactful if the players were not doing these protests during NFL games and just decided to do it on the sidelines? I mean, because it seems like that's when they kind of got the media attention, at least in my opinion, when they did start to do it during the NFL games. But is that what you're saying, kind of? Like you just wish they could do it, but just not during the game, right, to affect the fans.
Right. I mean, if ESPN doesn't want to show the national anthem, shame on them. I mean, how many times have we watched the national anthem on ESPN? Shame on them. But more importantly, social media has been the key component to movements of all types, including Colin Kaepernick. But you have all these outlets and forums, and you can close a town hall down and have a massive conversation. Again, take it to the streets, take it to the people. The people are the ones that are being affected. Use your social media outlets in order to reach people, to get people to do what you, and I'm not suggesting people are sheeple, but if these people are following you, there's a reason. They like your message, they understand, they relate to what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish. So I think outside of the NFL, if you guys want to have all your protests, and trust me, I've spoken to dozens and dozens of NFL players and would-be NFL players. And, and my concept is, if you're going to have these types of things, do it outside of being in a game, because you have all the time in the world outside of the game to make the impact, to make the noise. Take it to national television. Who doesn't want to interview Richard Sherman? Tell me, somebody, anybody in the Bay Area in California doesn't want to have Richard Sherman on to talk about this subject. So if you're going to have that type of outlook and have it and interpret it to where other people can relate to it, because I don't think during an NFL game people are going to relay. As a matter of fact, there's been more of a retaliatory effect on the outcome of the game, and all of a sudden you have other news outlets stating, well, nobody kneeled today. I guess that's a good day in sports, and then they kind of move on to the next. Talk about weather. You know, it's like, well, wait a minute. Nobody knew sports. Is that supposed to be a
and
subject?
And that's what it started to become. I mean, think about. I mean, that's what Colin Kaepernick essentially did. Like, now you have some people literally just watching the game to see during the national anthem if players are kneeling or if they're staying in the tunnel or what, or if they're raising their fists in the air. I mean, that's kind of the news cycle we have. I mean, also news this week, the mayor of Kenner, Louisiana, made the news because of a leaked memorandum where basically an internal memo showed that he banned the purchase of Nike products at booster clubs and recreation departments the day after Nike announced their partnership with former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick. But I do want to make the point, Colin Kaepernick actually has been signed to Nike for several years. He has a new sponsorship deal, and then he has this new advertisement, of course, that dropped right before the NFL season. But just hearing what the mayor of Kenner, Louisiana, Ben John, that's his name, what do you think about mayors kind of getting involved in this and literally telling people to not buy Nike products? Like, is this kind of the wave that sports is headed into as athletes maybe try to become more socially active?
I think social active athletes are probably the absolute best. And if they have a positive message and people are listening to them, I think overall, when you look at what they're trying to accomplish, it's accomplished on a relatively a smaller scale. But what they are doing is that they're feeling the sense of accomplishment. Things are actually happening. They're moving in that direction. So it shows to the individual saying, this is what I've done. This is where we're at right now. And this is all the steps. These are all the steps along the way to help us get to that point. Whether the mayor wants to tell people not to buy X, Y, and Z and ABC, a mayor's not going to be able to influence me personally to say, well, you shouldn't buy this or you shouldn't buy that. I'm going to say, well, you buy what you want to buy and I'll buy what I want to buy. And if it's Nike, then so be it. If it's Adidas or Puma or anybody else, it doesn't really matter. But no one's going to be able to tell me what I can or cannot buy. As far as the new trend and where this is going to, I think it's ridiculous. I just think there's too much attention paid to any one aspect of this entire situation. And I think the important things are being missed. I think change is being missed. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is any change being made right now, but the attention that's being given for the right reasons, going in the right direction, is the right thing. And I think people are doing it because we have that Fifth Amendment right. You can say whatever we want. The Second Amendment, we can protest till the cows come home. Either way, we have a right to arm ourselves, and we can talk about our own principles. So if these athletes want to go about and handle their business and get their point across, use their outlets. Again, going back to what I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
But as far as trending and things like that are concerned, it's ridiculous. If the President of the United States said, you cannot buy Nike or you'll go to jail.
Right.
I mean, how ludicrous is that? There's no way. Or if you own these products, you need to get rid of them or we're going to have the National Guard. You're going to waste your time sending the National Guard to my house for a pair of shoes?
For
Are
something
you
like that.
It's ludicrous.
It's crazy. And let me just ask you that real quick. Before we go to Serena Williams, that's another topic that is very hot right now. What do you think about all these social media videos of people actually cutting off the swishes, the Nike swish, off of their gear or burning their Nike products? I mean, is this what we're going into when we disagree with something now? I mean, sports now, it seems like, okay, when LeBron switches teams, right, we see the Nike, we see the burning of the jerseys. Now that Nike is having Colin Kaepernick on this big platform, we're seeing the same thing. I mean, is sports really just having this much impact in our everyday communities that this is the way that people are protesting now with burning the brand's products?
It's crazy to see these videos. It's way overblown. It's way overblown. When I look at it, I think to myself, look, if you're going to burn your stuff, and this message is kind of resonant, and it's resonating throughout the country, don't burn it. Give it to the homeless people that you see walking around everywhere. I'm sure they'd be more than happy to wear it.
Yes.
Just give it to them. Your shoes, your shorts, your undergarments, your watches, your polo shirts, your hats. Just give it to them. I guarantee you'd be more than happy to be walking around sporting Nike apparel.
it's so crazy because so many people actually need this stuff and people are just wasting time burning it. Mind you, they already bought it. So it's just the only person's money and time you're wasting is yourselves. I just had to touch on that. But also, speaking of controversy and protests and boycotting, this Serena Williams and the U.S. Open controversy against Naomi Osaka, which, of course, Serena Williams ended up losing. But all everyone's talking about is the umpire of the matches. And basically, Serena Williams, she got fined $17,000 for 3 code of conduct violations. And Serena Williams is the hot topic right now just because of everything that has transpired. Now, currently, there is a cartoon that is floating around that everyone Rudy is talking about by Mark Knight, which I'm calling a caricature. Have you actually got a chance to see the cartoon that has been floating around by Mark Knight and reprinted in an Australian paper?
I heard about that, and they're actually making copies, and they're reprinting it. And it's just,
yep.
Oh, man. I just think that if you're Serena Williams, this is extremely uncharacteristic, completely unsatisfying mm-hmm. sportsmanship on her part. And, mm-hmm. you know,
you're saying, sorry, before you go on, you're saying that you think Serena Williams is wrong matter, right? So you're agreeing with the umpire, Carlos Raymond.
I'm just agreeing that less is more. Less is more.
Okay.
If you're going to pull a John McEnroe and you want to take it out on the racket and say things out loud that aren't necessarily directed at the umpire, then do it. That is your right. Did he get the umpire steamed up? Did that affect decision-making process on what is out and what is in? Well, I don't know. Video replay hasn't been in tennis that long, but from the time Serena Williams started playing, it has. So I look at this and thinking to myself, Serena, compose yourself, recognize if you want to be upset, take it a different direction. Whether the umpire is right or wrong, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is that was the decision. You have to live with that decision and handle it like a professional. I don't agree with the decision, and I agree, and I side with her. If she's going to say something, it needs to be done professionally. It needs to be done in a way that nobody would expect for her to handle the situation. I mean, you see guys all the time that end up losing.
Do you think that she's judged unfairly because she's a woman? Because I think we see this with men a lot. Do you think we're judging Serena Williams more harshly simply because she's a woman doing it, especially in a sport like tennis?
That is probably the million-dollar question, or in this case, a multi-million dollars, because you know when they win a match, they win a lot of money. And with that comes a piece of hardware in association to that. I think women overall and against their male counterparts are being looked at and criticized that much faster than men are. And it's not to their credit at all. It's to their discredit. And it's bad for others to look at these women and think to themselves, well, it doesn't matter. She's going to take a loss just like she is. She can say whatever she wants. And, you know, she's going to handle herself accordingly. If you give the media fire, if you feed those pieces of coal, people are just going to start making bigger fires out of it. So in her situation, less is more. Could it be done a little bit differently? Perhaps, but hindsight being 2020, now she'll know for the next time if something like this was to occur again. I hope it doesn't, mm-hmm. but for her sake, again, controlling yourself, controlling your actions, and that speaks to athletes across the board. It doesn't matter if you're man or woman. We all have mouths, and we're all going to say things that we maybe should or should not be saying, but at the same token, we have to recognize that less is more, and we can get our point across if we just carefully word things in a way. And I don't mean to be politically correct. I mean, if you want to swear on television and you're known for doing it just like John Daly is for golf, drinking after every win or loss, you know, that's up to him. But does it affect his credibility? Perhaps. But more importantly, will this affect her credibility because she was so vocal, because she was so outspoken? I don't think it should. But again, the court of public opinion, no pun intended, being a tennis court, media watching, media frenzy, she's Serena Williams, you know, it goes wild real fast.
Williams, right? Like, she's going to be always judged differently. But Rudy, oh my gosh, this show has been so fun. I feel like this week in sports has been crazy. But Rudy, I do always like to end my show with my woman crush every day segment. We're going to start the U.S.
Open, because I would like to congratulate Naomi Osaka, who, of course, won the U.S. Open, and now she is reportedly set to sign one of the richest sponsorship deals in women's sports. If you guys didn't hear this yet, apparel giant Adidas is set to break the bank, okay? They're going to re-sign this young star, and the deal is worth more than $14 million per year. Just think about that. Her apparel sponsorship deal expired at the end of 2018, so basically Adidas is trying to move quickly for this young 20-year-old, and now Osaka will rocket up the list of the highest-earning female athletes on the entire planet. So, just think about that, and this is her new sponsorship deal and the U.S. Open. You talked about the prize money. U.S. Open championship prize money of $5.3 million. So, put those two together, and Osaka would... She would be on the second spot of the 2018 Forbes list of highest paid female athletes. Just think about this. This is a woman that we kind of all just met, and she's already to that. So anything you want to say about Naomi Osaka and just her great feat in the U.S. Open?
She earned every penny. Every penny. Every penny. There's so many times where athletes find a way to get to that market. We were talking about how Lamar Jackson is right there on the cusp of being given an opportunity to play, to showcase. Joe Flacco recognizing that. Osaka has been waiting for this her entire life, and the fact that she was able to beat her idol at her game the way she wanted to play it was absolutely amazing. She has earned every single penny. I congratulate her for her win, and I wish her the absolute best moving forward, and maybe come back and try to defend her title.
Wonderfully said. Wonderfully said. We are all looking forward to watching her continue to grow. And for everyone listening, all right, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is also available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play. Rudy, thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, not a problem. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the insight, and I look forward to doing it again.
Thanks so much. And for everyone listening, thanks again. Until next week, bye.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. Join the movement across other social media platforms at hashtag ListenInWithKNN. This has been Listen In with KNN. On AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio.